Good morning. Good to see everyone. Getting some more folks come back in. Some of our folks that felt the call of the wild and left and found it was cold up there, and some of them come back. That's good. Good to see each one. Amen. Trouble is, somebody left the door cracked. They say it's supposed to get cooler here next week, but we'll live with it. Amen. When I built the house, we didn't have money enough to put central air and heat in it at the time. So we put an attic fan in it and put a fireplace in it. Yeah, and in Florida, you could use a fireplace in the old days some. And we did. We got by all right. Of course, a few years later, I went back to the bank and got enough money to do it the modern way. That helped. But the other day it got a little bit cool. How many of you remember? There's a couple of cold nights here not too long ago. I thought I was going to have to build a fire again, so I started breaking up the furniture, but not really. But anyway, it's not over yet. May yet get one. Christmas passed without needing it anyhow, so we might again. Open your Bibles to John 18. We're going to try to move a little further. Got into the chapter. Of course, we're studying about the time. Now is the Lord's time that he announced to taught his disciples about, that the hour was come. He's in the garden scene now where the officers of the hierarchy of Judaism, the high priest, and all of them come with staves and torches and weapons to arrest him. Reviewing just a little bit, you remember he asked them who they seek, and they said, Jesus, Nazareth. He said, I am he. Just speaking the word I am, that's the name of God. He was God incarnate in the flesh. And just the power of speaking the word knocked them all over backwards. The truth is, I said it last week, Jesus was really in control. He laid down his life. No man took his life from him. We sang the song, it's so true. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have called more than that. He willingly went and died for us, came to seek and save that was lost. You'll never get saved till you understand you're lost, that you need a Savior. You can't pay your own price for your sin. You have to have a substitute to do it, and that's what Jesus came to do. So he came to fulfill that hour, and while as we compare the other Gospels, as we're studying through John here, and if we did that, we'd be here even longer than I've been keeping you, amen? So I'm purposely not covering the other gospels so much, but the supplementary material that goes in to give you more information and more detail as we go through the verses here near the time of the crucifixion in John. But he came for that purpose, and he willingly lay his life down. The truth is, he said at another time, my kingdom's not of this world. He said, if my kingdom was now, my servants would fight. They are going to fight one day. May reference it again this morning. Revelation chapter 19 gives you details about it when he is coming back leading the armies of heaven. Right now, I want to kind of jump in. Let's begin here about verse 15. We're going to move to Simon Peter now. Simon Peter's in the crowd. Simon Peter's a well-known disciple. He's known not only for the good things and the bold things he did, but also so many times when he put his foot in his mouth, so we can all relate to him pretty good, amen? And I read a little cute saying one time, said, let your words be sweet and nice. They will taste better if you have to eat them later. Peter had to eat a lot of his words later. Now, if we all would confess up, we have too. The Bible warns us that the tongue is set on fire of hell. We have to watch out for that. The devil and the demons use the tongue. And it's sort of like the toothpaste. You can't put it back in the tube. Once you've expressed it, it's out there. This day and time, not only is it out there for the person that first heard it, but they record it and everybody keeps hearing it nowadays. That's a negative part of it. Good side and a bad side to that. Let's jump in here about verse 15 of John 18. It says, and Simon Peter followed Jesus. And so did another disciple. Now, we'll kind of have to figure out who the other disciple is. Maybe not too hard to do. Now, it says Peter followed him. That's on the positive side. That's on the good side. But when we go to the book of Matthew, we find how Peter followed him. He followed him afar off. Ever seen somebody that almost got in church, but they didn't? They followed at a distance. Ever seen somebody that kind of lived for the Lord, but at a distance? Nobody hardly knew it for sure. They just kind of followed afar off. That's not a good thing to do. We're going to find out that Peter denies the Lord here in these texts that we'll get to. He started following him afar off here. We'll talk about it in just a moment, but it says that disciple, the one that was with Peter here now, was known to the high priest. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us why and all, but if we kind of read between the lines, we're going to find out this was John. John that wrote the book here. John that was the youngest disciple of all of them. Some believe he was still a teenager when these scriptures written here about him following along with the original disciples of the Lord. It says another disciple, that disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Now, this is where they first take Jesus when they take him from the garden. And John is able to go in. John went in because he wanted to. Peter doesn't want to follow that close. We read from the other gospels, of course. And so, but he's known also unto the high priest. And he went in with Jesus into the building. But it says in verse 16, but Peter stood at the door without. I've heard so many testimonies of people that later on got saved and gave a good testimony of knowing the Lord, serving the Lord, how they were so timid to start with, they just kind of hung around the outside door of the church or the outside, just not getting in. We sometimes hear technology used, come on into the water, step out a little further, a little deeper. And the truth is, it's best, closer you can get to God, the best. Closer you can get to the things of God, his house, his people, his book, so forth, the better off you'll be. Not only that, if you're saved, the closer you stand to the Lord, the less chastened you're going to get. Some of you heard me tell the story when I grew up as a kid. Little farm in Georgia, we had two peach trees, never had any peaches on them. Because mama stripped them for switches. How many of you know what a switch is? A switch off of a good Georgia peach tree is almost like a buggy whip. You can reach way out with it. Don't run from mama, she could get you a long distance. You know what I found out? I found out when she was getting that switch after me, the best thing to do was not try to get further from her, but closer to her. The closer I got, the harder it was for her to get a good lick. Especially if I was hugging her. she figured out my con. I still got some stripes a few times, but I found it was better to draw closer to her than getting farther away. And listen, if God's having to chasten you, it's better to get closer to him. Don't get far off, because if you do, it's going to hurt worse. The longer it takes for you to get back, the more stripes you're going to get. Amen. And Peter here, he was falling far off. He's hanging around the door here. John goes on in. Now, kind of reading between the lines these next few verses, we can kind of make an observation here. John went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest, but Peter stood at the door. Then went out that other disciple, that'd have to be John now, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door. And now, apparently there was a woman there designated to kind of keep the door open, shut, whatever. So he speaks to the woman at the door. And it says, and brought in Peter. So John is the one that got Peter a little closer. He brought him in. He asked the lady at the door to help him. Now that kind of reveals something to us. You know, the little maid might be this doorkeeper, this woman at the door. Not only that, John apparently, I'm going to use a big word now. Don't let this throw you. John probably sicked her on Peter. Anybody understand that powerful word there? probably said, this guy's pretending he's not one of us, but he is.
Yeah.
I don't know what he said to the woman, but she's the one later that exposed Peter. Look at it a little closer here. Said, but Peter stood at the door without. And then went out that other disciple, which was known of the high priest, spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art thou also one of this man's disciples? Put him on the spot. And he saith, I am not. I hope I don't have a coughing fit here all of a sudden. Didn't bring my coughing syrup with me. This man's disciple, he saith, I am not. Now, if we begin to count up, we're going to find out that Peter here denies the Lord three times. Later on, as we get to the end of the book of John, after they've gone a fishing and see Jesus standing on the shore with some fish on the coals, and Jesus confronts the disciples, he's going to ask Peter three times, lovest thou me? Remember? Now, preachers, and I probably preached it myself some, they'll make a play on that word, lovest. And you can switch it around to the Greek. You can use agape love and so forth. And it says there was a degree of love every time the Lord used it. Maybe a little different degree. Do you love me kind of shallow? Do you love me a little deeper? Do you love me a little deeper? Maybe so, but I got another opinion. My opinion is, find out when we get to heaven about our opinions, won't we? My opinion is, Peter denied him three times here. Three times, Jesus is going to ask him, lovest thou me? I think Peter realized what was happening, probably did. Come on back to the text. This is damsel in verse 17. Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. So the fire was built outside the door. Peter had crept into the wrong crowd, warming his hands by the wrong fire. He was keeping himself separate from God's people. You know, I've seen the time even when I felt a little bit tempted myself to just say, don't tell them who you are. I'm a believer. I'm here to overuse God's name in vain and this, that, and the other. Don't tell them who you are. The devil will tempt you like that sometime. But the truth is, sometime God lets us get in those situations where we will have the opportunity to speak up for him. A fellow that was a deacon that cut my hair for years in younger days, good man, had a barber shop. He was a barber. And I think it was him maybe that told me the story about this little guy wasn't real tall, come in the barber shop and was getting a haircut. Well, other men was in there. Let me tell you what a barber shop is with men. It's sort of like the hair saloon for women. All right, I know what I said. A lot of gossip, a lot of talk that shouldn't be sometime goes on with a bunch of guys sitting there. And so they were using the name of the Lord in vain, and a bunch of stuff was going on with the fellows that were sitting there. And this little guy was in the chair getting his hair cut. And finally, the barber kind of finished his hair up and pulled the cloth off of him. Little guy didn't go down. He climbed up, stood up in the chair so he'd be tall, and he started singing about how I love Jesus. And the barber said, what? And the men, you know, everybody got real quiet. And he said, well, y'all been talking about who you love. I want to tell you who I love. Now, most of you are not going to be that bold, but there's times that probably we ought to be. Oh, one story leads me to another, and I'm going to move on a little bit. There's a barbershop. I'm going to tell you a little bit now. Most of you can't put this together. We own the building. Church owns the building. It's the building straight across the street from the hotel. There used to be a barbershop in one of those buildings. Fellas that's worked in there have seen the evidence. I remember when it was an active barbershop, and it was a Saturday, and it was Sunday coming, and I needed a haircut like I do so often. And I rushed in there to the barbershop, and I maybe had been there once before, or it might have even been my first time, I'm not sure. But when I went in, several guys were sitting around. They'd already had their haircut. Some of them hadn't, some of them waiting. Somebody in the chair. There was a big old guy sitting over there, and I came in and just sat down. Now, I've been here long enough, most everybody knew I was a preacher that when I went in, and I don't remember exactly how I was dressed. Might have had on a tie, I don't remember. But I went in and sat down, and the loudmouth guy was sitting over there. He probably had a little bit too much cough syrup that morning, I don't know. But he was turning the air blue, and he was fussing about this, that, and the other, and using some pretty bad words. And I'm sitting there, and all these guys, they know the preacher came in. This guy don't know it. And he's still just doing that. And finally, I don't know, I felt like something ought to be said. And finally, he kind of stopped for breath. And I'm sitting several seats from him. But I said, "Mister, you know what's wrong with you?" He said, "What?" I said, "You need to get saved." You say, "That wasn't smart." I didn't say I was smart. Didn't say that at all. Boy, God, you could hear a pin drop, and the barber quit clipping. It just froze when I said that. I'm still looking right at him. He stood up. He was tall when he stood up. And I thought, what did they say do about this in seminary? They didn't say nothing. That wasn't covered in my ordination, amen? But he started walking on over toward me. And I just still sitting there looking at him. He got about halfway there, and he kind of stopped. He said, "You know, you're probably right." And right in front of all of them, I was able to tell them about Jesus. Tell all of them at the same time. And he didn't get saved, I guess, right there. But he changed his whole attitude. His words changed. It turned out to be a good opportunity to testify for the Lord. Well, then my turn to come to get in the chair. And the barber, by that time, when I got in the chair, most of the men was gone. He said to me, "You ought not done that." He said, "You could have caused blah, blah, blah." He was fussing at me. Now, I realized he had the scissors, and I was a little afraid of him. But when he finally kind of chewed me out a little bit, I said, "Are you saved?" I never went back. But the truth of the matter is, sometime, like Peter, we're going to be put on the spot. Peter hadn't handled it well up to this point. He's warming his hands by the devil's fire. He's standing right outside. He's not being associated with his crowd. And John is kind of putting the pressure on him about who he is. And he's denying. Now, as he denies, his denial gets stronger. And the more you deny the Lord, the more you will deny the Lord. That's very, very human with all of us. Reading on just a little bit further on down in it. And the servants and officers, verse 18, stood there, who had made a fire coals. It was cold. They warmed themselves. Peter stood with them, warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. We'll go through several verses here now. Jesus answered him, "I spake openly in the world. I even taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing." Jesus is saying, "You know what my doctrine is. You've heard me preach. You know exactly. Why are you asking me now? about it. The hypocrisy of this thing shows up pretty big. Jesus answered him in verse 20, I spake openly in the world. I taught in the synagogue, so on. No secret about that. Let me just drop this in also. Folks, you say, I've been in the crowd. I didn't want anybody to know I'm saved. They might know it anyhow. They might know more about you than you think. They might know it. You even go to this church. Kind of in Haines City. Of course, it's bigger now. But in the early years, I don't know why I got on a barbershop this morning. It brought another thought to me. In the barbershops here in town, when our students from our school would go in, of course, the rules was they had to have haircuts. And you'd go into barbershops, and one of the things some of the barbers would say, you want a landmark haircut? Landmark haircut. Well, everybody knew what that meant. And people know more about you than you think. I've had some folks working at Walmart one time. It's been years ago, so don't try to put faces and names to nothing I'm saying, please. But one of the employees in Landmark said, we recognize the ladies from Landmark. They're just different. Well, they ought to be different. We're a testimony for the Lord. People know what you're doing, where you're at, how you sound, what your appearance is, and everything else. And Jesus is talking to them here about that. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. Verse 21. What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand. Can you imagine that guy facing God at the judgment? Saying, answerest thou the high priest so? Talking about the high priest. The high priest was Jesus himself. All the earthly priests was just a shadow of what Jesus himself was. He's a priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, the Bible tells us. Jesus answered him, if I've spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? Now, Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore to him, art thou not also one of his disciples? Here he's being on the carpet again. Chance to confess again, but he's going to deny the Lord again. And he denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off with the sword, I added with the sword there, whose ear Peter cut off, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Now, you know what? If you were standing there and saw a man's ear cut off, and you'd probably recognize who done it. So they recognized Peter for sure. And so he's putting him on the spot here. Peter then denied again. What is this, the third time? Denied again. Down in verse 27. And immediately the cock crew. Now you remember what this is tied into. If you want to just flip back real quick to chapter 13 and verse, 38 or 9, somewhere there. Chapter 13. We've studied this already. Oh, chapter 13:38. Jesus answered him, Peter now, it's been talking about how bold he was going to be, and going to never deny the Lord. And Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me, what? Thrice. That's three times. And that's exactly what Peter's done. But now after he denies him the third time, the rooster's going to crow. I believe it was a rooster. I know if you study some of the commentaries on it, it'll tell you the cock crowing was a horn blowing in a tower telling folks it was midnight hour or something in the city. There's a verse in the Bible that disproves that, though. If I can remember it, I think it's Mark chapter 14. Go to Mark chapter 14, women. I'll see if I can find it. Turn back on John. Get through Luke. Get to Mark chapter 14. I know it's in there. I saw it 2 years ago. All right. I'm joking with you some. I've seen it since then. But Mark chapter 14. Come on. Can you find it? Chapter 14. Look about 1430, see if that's it. Turning one page at a time. Sometime it'll stick together, sometime they don't. What is it, 32 or 30? 30, all right, I'll read it, I got it now, finally. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow, what? Twice. But the horn only blew one time. So this is a live rooster. The horn blew to tell time at once. The rooster crowed twice. Anybody ever remember laying awake and hearing the roosters crow? Oh, we all do. They crow as many times as they want to. In fact, I wanted to strangle a few of them a few times. As a kid, you know, windows open, you didn't have noises that we have now. You could hear the barnyard creatures. You could hear the rooster when he went to crowing. So Peter now has denied the Lord three times, and the rooster's going to crow, but roosters don't just crow once and shut up. They crow as many times as they want to. So it was a real live rooster. Somebody said, well, I went to college and they taught me there was a big tower with a horn in it, and they called that the cock crowing at night to tell us when it was midnight. Well, maybe so, but that didn't got nothing to do with the live rooster crowing. So we got that settled, I hope. You might not have had the question, but I've had folks say something about that. So back to John 18:28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. Again, keep this in mind. They have not for a long time here in the garden. It was not the Roman soldiers in the garden. It was the officers and the magistrates and all from the Jewish temple, from Judaism. Now they're going to have to go see Pilate because the Jews were in submission. They were conquered by the Romans. But the Romans allowed them to practice their religion up to a point. We'll find out as we study this thing that they could not crucify a man. That had to be wrong. That's why they had to get Pilate's approval on that. It was a Roman spear in his side. It was a Roman cross that they nailed him to. The Jews' method of capital punishment was not a cross. It was stoning. And the Romans would not allow them to stone, even though they snuck it in sometime, like in Acts 7 when they stoned Stephen. But they were not allowed to practice that, to stone people. They had to have a judge under Rome, under the Roman court. So that's why they had to keep on talking to Pilate till they finally talked him into crucifying Christ. Even though he said, I find no fault in him, politically he moved to the crowd. Seeing a lot of that on TV right now. Mobs in the street and all the stuff that's going on. Sometimes decisions get made not because they're right or wrong, but because of the public pressure. In this day, we're getting awful close to mob rule in some of these big cities, and that's not right. But anyway, moving back here to John 18, Peter's denied the Lord three times now in the cock crew. What did that do? You read the other gospels, you'll find out when Peter heard the cock crow, he wept bitterly. He started repenting, but I don't say it right here in John, but he started repenting at that time. Now, we'll get to what I just mentioned, this minute left. Verse 28, Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas under the hall of judgment. Now, the hall of judgment was under Pilate's control. It's shifting now from the officers of the temple and the Jewish Judaism. They got to take him to a Roman judgment hall. So they did that. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, that they, as those officers of the temple, the priest, the mob that is arresting Jesus. Got to remember, that's the religious crowd that's come and met him in the garden. It is the religious crowd that gave the 30 pieces of money to Judas to sell him out. So if we were to put it on a local level, we'd say, well, this is his church crowd that accused him. Now they got to bring him before Rome to get him officially accused where they can legally, by the Roman government, Roman laws, kill him. So that's what's in the verse here, verse 28. They themselves went not in the judgment hall. Do you remember why? Because that would defile them. Now, here's the hypocrisy of it. If you don't have time to open to the other gospels, but the Bible tells us that Pilate knew that for envy they delivered him. Pilate was not fooled. He knew he was being used, and he actually fought being used, saying he found no fault in the man. They couldn't go in the judgment hall. That would defile them. Now, we've got to be careful about that. Real hypocrisy. I remember it was a losing battle, but I remember when some of the big grocery stores started selling alcohol. Sometimes the accusation was, well, you don't go to the bar, but you go to the grocery store and they sell it in there. Sometimes the Bible talks about straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. You got to watch out for that kind of stuff, because people know your hypocrisy. And Pilate knew their hypocrisy. They're so high up and good, they won't enter my hall. That will defile them if they come into this Gentile court. So they stay outside. But what they're doing, they're behind accusing an innocent man, which is a greater sin, the false accusation of Jesus or being defiled by walking into a Gentile court. And Pilate, the Roman governor, was not fooled on that. He finally gave in to them after telling them several times that Jesus was innocent. But they would be defiled. Now, can you imagine the Romans talking, look at those hypocritical Jews. They're walking here. They can't go in here like, but they're going to do a crime of falsely accusing an innocent man, putting him to death, which is a bigger sin, being defiled in the Gentile court where you're not, their religious law said they couldn't go, or this hypocritical thing of crime they're committing, evil they're committing. All right, time is up, Brother Smith. I told one story too many, I think. Maybe more than one. All right, 795, not bad this morning for all the snow we got out there. Amen. 7, 8, 9 minutes.